Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I begin my message today, let me remind you again of the commission of this ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock. He is the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries. And God said to him, I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I have given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I do not want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ, to those with a heart after God. The message is for those who want to get to know Him now and grow up in Him now. Today I'm going to be speaking about the forgiveness of sins. Paul spoke about Jesus and said this in Acts chapter 13 and verse 38. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. We have the privilege that through our Lord Jesus Christ, and only in His name, we have the forgiveness of sins. Paul said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, I'm reading from Romans chapter 3, verse 20 to 24. Verse 20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We now have access to a greater righteousness apart from the law, even the very righteousness of God. This is the same righteousness that God Himself has every time He makes a decision. He never makes a mistake. We read in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 7. It says, O Lord, righteousness belongs unto Thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to unto all Israel that are near and they that are far off, though all the countries, whither Thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against Thee. We now have access to the pure righteousness by the Spirit. But this is only possible through the forgiveness of sins. If we do not get this kind of righteousness, then we will continue with whatever righteousness we have ourselves. Job 15 and verse 16 says, how much more abominable and filthy is man, which drinketh iniquity like water. The psalmist says in Psalm 14 and verse 3, they are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Psalm 53 and verse 3. every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy, and there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Also we read in the book of Isaiah 64 and verse 6, but we are all as unclean, and all our righteousness as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. Paul also refers to the psalmist when he says in Romans chapter 3, I'm reading from verse 10 to 12, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11, there is no one that understandeth, there is none that seek after God. Verse 12, they are all gone out of their way, they are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. God's righteousness also includes seeking God and doing his perfect will. If you are doing your own will, then you will miss on God's plans. This is also the sin of omission. The definition of sin is simple. It is sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, or action. You can do something because God told you to do it, but with the wrong motive. You can obey God, but do it at the wrong time. You can also try and obey God with the wrong purpose. Noah Webster defines sin like this. He said it's the voluntary departure of a moral agent from a known rule of rectitude or duty prescribed by God and voluntary transgression of the divine law or violation of a divine command, a wicked act, iniquity. Sin is either a positive act in which a known divine law is violated, or it is a voluntary neglect to obey a positive divine command or a rule of duty clearly implied in such commands. Sin comprehends not action only, but neglect of known duty. All evil thoughts, purposes, words, and desires, whatever is contrary to God's commands or law. In John's epistle, he said in 1 John 3 and verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he's righteous. Jesus spoke to the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew 15, starting in verse 7. I'm reading all the way to verse 14. This is Matthew chapter 15, verse 7. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, verse 8, these people draw near unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Verse 9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Verse 10. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Verse 11. Not that which goeth into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of his mouth, this defiles a man. Verse 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Verse 13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Verse 14. Let them alone, that they be blind guides of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. When you close your eyes to what sin is, it doesn't go away. Making excuses for sin or following traditions to make sin acceptable is only making you blind. And you're also deceiving others. There are consequences for deceiving others as well when you live in sin. Jesus said it's better to fall into the ditch with the ones you are helping so that you would wake up and realize that you are deceiving yourself and you can come to repentance. You will soon reap the consequences of sin if you are spiritually blind. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 verses 7 and 8, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Verse 8, "For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit of the Spirit reap life everlasting." James also spoke about sin in the church. In James chapter 4, verse 1 to 4, "For whence do wars come and fighting among you? Come they not from even the lusts that war in your members?" Verse 2, "Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and you war, yet ye have not because ye ask not." Verse 3, "Ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts." Verse 4, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses," he says, "know ye not that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is an enemy of God." Sin comes from the lust of the flesh and clinging to this world and not to Christ. James continues. He says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Verse 9, "Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness." Verse 10, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Webster defines actual sin as the act of a moral agent in violating a known rule or duty. Webster defines original sin as a native depravity of heart to the divine will, that corruption of nature, of deterioration of the moral character of man, which is supposed to be the effect of Adam's apostasy and which manifests itself in moral agents by positive act of disobedience to the divine will or by the voluntary neglect to comply with the express commands of God, which require that we should love God with all our heart and soul and strength and mind and our neighbor as our own selves. This native depravity, he says, or alienation of affections from God and his law is supposed to be what the apostle calls the carnal mind or mindedness, which is enmity against God and is therefore denominated sin or sinfulness. Webster defines the unpardonable sin or blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. It is supposed to be a malicious and obstinate rejection of Christ and the gospel plan of salvation, or a contemptuous resistance to the influence and conviction of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 31 and 32, I'm reading. This is Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven unto men." Verse 32. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Now is the time to get forgiveness. Repentance is available now, while you are still here on this earth. You might be surprised when some sinners live longer. This is because God allows them more time to come to repentance before they die. The only one who decides the amount of days you have on this earth is God. Job 14 and verse 5 says, seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Only God can work out the length of your days that you need to come to repentance, and whatever time is needed to complete your mission on earth. Paul said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, he says, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Through their death, it is likely that they finished their race and did not deny Christ, even under severe persecution. Paul said to the church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'm reading verses 13 and 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which shall sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Some little ones had died for the faith, but Paul said that they will be seen again because they did not deny Jesus and died for their faith. We need to be holy to rule and reign with Christ. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. With the help of the Holy Spirit, you can get to the root of sin and stop sinning. He is your best help. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, 31, and 32, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Remember, Christianity is not just another religion. It is a relationship with a living God. Through the forgiveness of sin, we receive the Holy Spirit. He is not just a guest, but he is there to help you. He is the teacher of all spiritual things. We are carnal until we're fully transformed. Jesus said in John 16, verses 7 to 11, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Verse 8, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9, of sin because they believe not in me. Verse 10, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you will see me no more. Verse 11, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. If we now continue in sin, there will be much heartache. It proves that you are not trusting God. The Holy Spirit is evidence of your calling to holiness. He's evidence that God has not abandoned us to end up in the fire. He is telling us to repent and change because he loves us. He proved his love for us in the fact that Christ died for us all. John said in 1 John 2 and verses 1 and 2, he said, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Verse 2, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. People who do not submit to the Holy Spirit and confess their sins are moody and touchy. John says in 1 John 1 and verse 7, but if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. Walking in the light means you let the Holy Spirit convict you of sin. Do not resist. Repent and process the truth. Noah Webster, in 1828, writes, sinners neither enjoy the pleasures nor the peace of piety. Due to sin, you may be living with regret, waiting for something to heal your hearts. The sin you have not confessed has now trapped you. Time will not heal the heartache of sin. It will make it worse. Sin is like a splinter in the hand or under the skin. It's just a small scratch, but it opens up a wound that does not heal properly. The body produces antibodies that try to remove the infection, but then this creates even more pressure and infection spreads. If you have an offense against God, you have not really repented. Sin is like a small infection that spreads if not treated, and eventually you will need a serious operation. You have to confess your sin to be free, but also be willing to change whatever he shows you after this as well. How else will you be saved? He could show us all our sins, but he does not. We read in the book of Isaiah. This is Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. It says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Verse 19. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. So you must trust him that it is time to change whatever he says and when he says. Jesus said to his own disciples in John chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. He said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit was given to us to lead us into all truth and expose sin. This is like having the latest car with a panel that reports every fault. This does not happen all at once. The light is there just to indicate that you have a serious problem, but there is still time to get it repaired. You also have an instruction manual with your car. In the spiritual realm, this is the Bible, which the early disciples did not have. They did have the Holy Spirit and the example of Jesus. They wrote the Gospels so that we could also experience the living Word and not just get stuck in the written Word. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, "Who also hath made us able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life." Those disciples did not write a hitchhiker's guide to heaven or four spiritual laws to follow. The gospel writers each wrote separately what the Holy Spirit directed them to write. Those disciples gave you a faithful account, what they saw, so anyone who is spiritual would understand. You are a fool if you think you will ever understand the Bible using your mind. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm starting in verse 11, I'm reading to verse 14. He said, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." Verse 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Verse 13, "Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Verse 14, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." How can you know or comprehend the real reason or motive for anything if you do not check everything with the Holy Spirit and get a clear witness? This is what Paul says here in verse 11. "Since the first apostles died, the church has been led by a few gifted preachers and evangelists that were proclaiming one part of the puzzle that they got by grace, but they did not get all the pieces." For more information, I recommend you read the book Sound Doctrine by Joseph Hitchcock. You will have to ask God to forgive you for the years you wasted in Bible college using your carnal mind, trying to understand the Bible. This is also a sin of omission. I wasted at least 8 years of my life studying with my own mind. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them." You can confess your sins to get in the presence of God. Sin cannot come in his presence. The forgiveness of sin is so that you can hear his voice now and come to repentance and get to the root of sin and do the will of God instead. We serve a living God, and we are not in just another religion. We have to follow him. Jesus said in Luke 9, verse 23, "And he said unto them all, If a man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Jesus said this to the disciples. They were men who had decided to forsake all and follow Christ, even unto death. The Holy Spirit is going to be faithful, showing us our sins one at a time if we follow him. Are you following him? Or did you just come to God because of the pain caused by your own transgressions? If you are desiring an intimate relationship with God, it starts with the forgiveness of sins. Without the forgiveness of sin, we could not come in his presence. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, he says, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. God is holy. Under the law, we were all eternally separated from God because there was no way for sin to be forgiven. The blood of animals cannot save us. Paul says in Hebrews 10 and verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. But after the resurrection, Jesus said to his disciples in Luke chapter 24, verses 46 and 47, and he said unto them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day. Verse 47. And that repentance and the remission of sins should be preached in his name unto all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Through Jesus' name, and only through the authority of Christ, it is now possible for all sins to be forgiven. Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. At one time we were all trapped in our sins, working for the devil. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, I'm starting in verse 1, I'm reading in verse 3. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit which now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also you had your conversation in times past, and in the lusts of your flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. We were all like puppets, being controlled by the devil without even realizing. If you do not feel close to God, you now know that sin is the problem, and pride is the root of all sin. James says in James chapter 4 and verse 6, but he gives more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Are you lacking in that grace? Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Webster also defines reproach as that which is the cause of shame or disgrace. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verses 45 to 49, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. Verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and hear my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. Verse 48. He is like a man which built an home and digged it deep and laid the foundations on a rock. And when the floods arose and the streams beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 49. But he that heareth and does not is like a man without a foundation, built an house upon the earth, against which the streams did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. David spoke about doing the will of God when he said this in Psalm 16 and verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is a fullness of joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. When you are in his presence, there is fullness of joy. This is not a natural joy that the world can give. The world cannot give you this joy. The world cannot take it away. Only sin causes a loss of joy. If you are in his presence, you will feel fullness of joy. If you come out of his presence, joy starts going down. The amount of spiritual joy is an indicator of your spiritual temperature. Peter said in 1 Peter 1 and verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. There is an unspeakable joy too. David also experienced this at his right hand when God used him. There is so much more when you let him use you and you're doing his perfect will. He will honor and bless you. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 to 22. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21. And if a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, love, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Jesus said to his disciples in John's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 23 and 24, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Verse 24. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. This unspeakable joy only comes when you are really a follower of Jesus, led and controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is based on God answering prayer. This all comes from using the gift of eternal life. John said in 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, that which we have seen and heard and declare as unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Paul describes the kingdom of God now on this earth. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, he says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Are you experiencing the kingdom of God now? Do you have that fullness of joy and peace? Every day you should hear his voice by grace through faith, because you are now in right standing with him. On the first day of your salvation, something amazing happened. When you cried out to God, Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. By grace through faith, we were all translated from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. I believe by faith that you can even sit on his lap if you believe. We are all first class children of the kingdom of God, and we can all have his undivided attention at the same time. There are no Old Testament laws and rituals to follow. The law was like a tough school to show us that we needed Jesus. Paul said in Galatians 3, 24 and 25, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Verse 25, but after that, faith is come. We are no longer under a schoolmaster. Living in his presence is possible by faith. Our justification is not by works, but by simply trusting in God himself and by making him Lord. He becomes your boss or your director. Even before the law, Enoch believed that it was possible to have fellowship with God by faith. Enoch walked with God for 300 years, and then God took him. In Genesis chapter 5, 23 and 24, we read, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch was even walking with God when sin was increasing on the earth after Adam committed the first sin. Peter says this in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. I'm reading from verses 4 to 9. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Verse 5, and he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those should live ungodly. Verse 7, and he delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked. Verse 8, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteousness soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The angels do not have a free will, so when they sin, there is nothing left but judgment. But you have the possibility to repent. By grace, we have all been translated. Paul says in Colossians 1 and 14, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So the forgiveness of sins is ongoing when you are in Christ. We have an answer for sin. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, but something can separate us from his holy presence. Isaiah says, in the book of Isaiah, we read, Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear." Verse 2, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." In this verse, God says he is able to save. He is powerful and able to save us from all the consequences of sin. God has good hearing. He can communicate with 6 billion people on the face of the earth all at the same time. But the problem is sin. In verse 2, it says that our iniquities have separated us from God. Webster defined iniquity as a particular deviation from rectitude, a sin or a crime or wickedness of any act of injustice. Iniquity is going away from something you know is the truth, but you persist in because you want something in this life instead. But make sure you repent. In Isaiah chapter 55, we read in verses 1 and 2, "Lo, everyone that's thirsty, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price." Verse 2, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." We need to stop sinning. Paul said in Hebrews 10 and 26, "For if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins." People who are serving another agenda usually have a problem with iniquity. James says in James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, verse 14, "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed." Verse 15, "Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death." It starts when you make an excuse for your actions. This is what separates us from God's presence. You will notice a grieving and a loss of joy. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Even though you are born again, you will die. God is delaying the consequences of sin to give you a chance to repent. If you come to repentance, the consequences of sin is removed and you do not die. But you have to repent of being Lord of your own life. It's not enough just to be born again. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again." Verse 8, "The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and you cannot tell from when it's coming and where it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." The new life in Jesus starts when we follow him. And you are led by the Spirit. If you are not following Jesus, you will be tempted, and the devil will tell you lies about sin. The devil said to Eve in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4, "And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die." Iniquity is the sin that you know is sin. How can you know what sin is unless you have the Holy Spirit? You may have even hardened your heart now in order to keep sinning. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 8, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. You need to come into the light, trust God and obey. Paul said again in Hebrews chapter 3 verse 15, while it is said today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. If you sin, you need to make a fresh start in faith. Paul said in Romans 8 and 38, I'm reading from Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. And Paul said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principality, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, not any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have to believe he loves you. He is now supposed to be your heavenly Father. He will provide for you if you listen to his voice. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus came to bring life. And if you listen to the devil and serve him, you will end up losing everything you could have had in this life and an inheritance that you could have had for eternity. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I am come that you might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You cannot have that life and abundance without letting him take over. It was your lordship that brought sin and shame. He is Lord now. Let him take over now, as time is running. When the kingdom starts, it is too late. In 1 John 3 and verse 8 says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Sin is the access point of the devil, for him to take control. This is how the devil can even get in and steal. If you sin, he is now the master of your life. The devil wants you to believe that you are still in control, but that is not the truth. The devil's access is through sin, not confessed, and dealt with properly through repentance. Submit to God. Be willing to change anything and be obedient to the Spirit of God. Paul says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus is willing to be the author and finisher of your faith. Trust him to make all the right decisions and corrections in your life. You should have died for your sin, but Jesus took your place. Records show that he died and rose again on the third day. But Jesus never sinned. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 is a maybe scripture. It depends on us. We have to get in Christ and abide there to be sanctified. Christ has paid the price for us to enter. He has done his part and said it is finished. So he is not going to do any other work. Now you have to abide. For you to abide in Christ, you have to stop sinning and stop following the dictates of the flesh. You have the Spirit, but people make excuses. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Death could not hold Jesus because he was without sin. You need to be sure your sins are forgiven. Confess them to God and be sure. The work of the cross has to be personal. Do you know that if you were the only person left on the face of the earth, Jesus would still have died for you? Maybe you think that, well, since he died for everyone else anyway, it's not so bad. But you need to realize that Jesus came for you, even if no one else responded in faith. You cannot benefit from the cross just by asking Jesus to take away your sin or by saying sorry. John said in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please present yourself before God. Do you want to know your sins are forgiven? Perhaps you're hiding some sins away for later because of the shame. But there may not be another time to confess like now. Many years ago, a large number of foreign nationals were illegally residing in the USA and were given a chance to come forward. The US government granted amnesty to all illegal residents. This was only if they came in and registered with the government and gave all their details, and they would be allowed to stay. Everyone who wanted amnesty had to do this within 18 months. Some did not believe. They were afraid and did not register in time. Everyone had to agree to the laws of the land as well to become a citizen. But those who registered were not illegal residents anymore. This is a picture of forgiveness. Everyone has to register with God within the time. God has allowed and comply with the kingdom of God. Jesus is coming soon. If you want to be a citizen of the kingdom of God, then you comply and do not go back to lawlessness. There are consequences for sin. Paul said in Ephesians 4 and 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. To receive the forgiveness of sins that is available, we have to confess our sins. That forgiveness is available for you every day until the day of judgment. But do not leave it too late. Charles Grandison Finney was a Presbyterian minister between 1792 and 1875. He was one of the greatest evangelists leading the Second Awakening in the United States. Some estimates suggest that Charles Finney influenced and reached more people and led them to Christ than even some of the greatest modern day evangelists. His messages were strong and full of conviction. In each place, Finney would speak for 2 to 3 hours each night for up to 5 days, and at the end made no altar call. He offered a nervous chair for those seeking peace with God. People would be crying out as they realized how their lives were falling short of God's holy standards. They would ask Finney, what must we do to be saved? He believed people had to be ready for salvation and would offer an all-after inquiry meeting at the end of his visit. Charles Finney said, The point was frequently urged upon everyone at these meetings to give their full consent to Jesus as Lord. They were told the only difficulty was to get their own honest and earnest consent to the terms upon which Christ would save them. Everyone had to renounce all sin, all excuse-making, all unbelief, all hardness of heart, and every wicked thing in heart and life, here and now forever. If you cannot trust God with His power to forgive your sins, how can you trust Him with your salvation? The forgiveness of sins is based on you confessing your sin. Any area that you do not confess is still under the control of Satan, especially areas of your heart where you are still trying to work out everything with your mind, filled with fear. You need to give Jesus the master key of your life and open your heart to Him. Not confessing sin keeps the door firmly closed. Each sin is like a room in a hotel with the door closed. If you confess that sin to God and tell Him what you did and why you did it, that opens the door. While that conviction is there, He will help you. But you must not go back. While that conviction is there, He will help you. Just confess your sins, and God will show you how Satan got in through your hardened heart. This is available by grace through faith. Finney's results were amazing, and those who came to Christ through Finney were strong in faith, and many of his followers established Jesus as Lord from the beginning. From further studies, many were still in a high state of revival 20 or 30 years later. Jesus said to Peter in Luke 7 and verse 41, "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. Luke 7 and 42. "And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him the most?" Peter answered correctly. Then Jesus explained this about a lady who was forgiven of all her sins. In Luke 7 and 47, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." Everything God does starts with His love for us. We are incapable of loving God. John says in 1 John 4:19, "We love because He first loved us." This woman in Luke chapter 7 was trapped in sin and set free by Jesus. Her sins were forgiven and she responded to Jesus with her own act of love. This is how we all need to start. Do you really know He has forgiven all your sins? Peter spoke about a lack of transformation and said this in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he has been purged from his old sins." Have you forgotten that you have been forgiven much? The church of today does not really know how much God loves them personally. The root of this seems to be in the fact that they did not confess all their sins. They failed to realize how lost they really were without Jesus. And those who love God the most know how much they are forgiven. Instead, people prefer to close their eyes to sin and compare themselves with someone else who is worse. You may have dishonored your parents, stole money, lied, deceived others, given a false testimony. Please confess these sins. How many sins are still not confessed? Include also the sin of where you fail to do the will of God, not just the sins that you committed. Ask God to forgive you for resisting the Holy Spirit. If you have done this many times, your heart is already hardened. Charles Finney made a point on true confession of sin. He had a passion for God. He loved to spend hours in prayer. Often he would get up at 4 a.m. or even earlier to wake up other pastors who were fast asleep. His love abounded. He had been forgiven much and he had confessed all his sins. How about you? Do you trust in time to remove the memories of past sins? Confess them now and let God work on them. You will be healed. There may be some sins you have forgotten or do not want to remember. God will help you to remember. And the Holy Spirit can bring back to your remembrance sins that you need to be brought to the cross and confessed. The church of Ephesus was told by Jesus in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. But I have this against you, that thou hast left thy first love. Verse 5. Remember therefore from where thou hast fallen, repent and do your first works, or else I will come to thee, and I will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. If you need to do your first works again, it is possible to do this now. Go back and admit that you did not confess all. Make sure you say why. It might be fear or something else. If you confess all, you will experience his love. This is a critical time because you need to know that God will accept and not reject you. You do not become a second or third class child of God because of all your sins. Because through Jesus, all your sins are forgiven. Trust him with all your life. The forgiveness of sins is good news for all. It is a free pardon for sins and the possibility to make a fresh start today. Sin is destroying lives everywhere, and you have a chance to be forgiven and get to know him too. You receive the Holy Spirit who will go on helping you understand what else needs to be changed and how to change. There is forgiveness from all sins committed against him and things you've done that have offended a holy God. If you turn yourself in now and admit that you've been sinning, and this is just evidence of your own lordship, you will be forgiven. You will immediately get grace and get in Christ, and he will help you to be changed by his love. When you come to Christ, you have to be ready to examine yourself. Don't be afraid of correction and conviction. God will not condemn you. The sin in your life is evidence that you are still Lord of your life, not Jesus. Your own efforts to try and be right and good are filthy rags. Everything that you have done that does not meet God's standards is separating you from something you could have for eternity. It can just be one sin. You cannot enter into a relationship with God without total forgiveness. You have to be open with God, and he will be open with you. If you do not confess all, then you will never really have a deep relationship with God. In the courts of this land, you cannot use something you later forget to mention in your testimony at the time. God knows everything. So something you do not mention shows that you are still hiding from God. You don't trust him. The forgiveness is the start of his love for you and his commitment to you. You will feel completely secure in him. Let him show you your sin and the consequences of that sin. Then you'll begin to see how much he loves and cares for you. It will be easy for you to trust him. But if you hide, it shows a lack of faith. If you are really established in his love, the journey ahead will be easy. You will not fight his changes because you know he loves you. You know it's for the best, even when you do not understand. If you want something you've never had before, you're going to have to do something you've never done before. There is wisdom from God that you need. This starts with confessing your sin, even if it appears foolish. Start again with a life of faith in Christ alone. Confessing your sin is just the beginning. If you are ready for salvation, you will receive the Holy Spirit. From now on, you cannot just call him Lord. Salvation comes by accepting his authority over your life, trusting him to raise you up on the last day. Only if he's Lord of your life can he save you. If you are Lord of your own life, you are trying to be saved by works, and no one is saved by doing works. If you want to hear, get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend the book My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and make him Lord and live in the light, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1. This is Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you really want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure that you get on that narrow path I mentioned. The broad road leads to destruction. It looks good. It's signposted heaven this way. And many well-meaning, good people attending church are on this road. I believe this book will help you. The Guilted Prison by Joseph Hedgecock. The revised edition is now available in English. Today, as you've heard this message, realize that we have the forgiveness of sins. There should be nothing between you and God. If there's some reason why you will not confess your sins and be clear with him, then something is being stolen. Something is separating you from your God. You have closed your heart to him, and you don't have that wonderful, intimate relationship with him. Maybe you've already lost your first love. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to forgive you, cleanse you. Pray this prayer with me, that God, soften my heart, O Lord. Cleanse me within. Heavenly Father, I'm praying for anyone who's listening to this message. If they realize today that this message is spoken to them, and they realize that they have not confessed, Father, I pray that you will build a fire under them, that you will not let that situation drop, and they will confess that sin to you, that they will be able to be clean before you. And as they've confessed that sin, fill them with the Holy Spirit, that they know that you have forgiven their sins and you have come in and filled them up with the most wonderful experience of your presence. Father, I thank you for this message. Amen. God bless you. I really hope that this message touches your heart. If you want to get in touch with us, then please, there's some contact details, and there'll be a summary of the scriptures as well. God bless you. Have a great day.